Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Vice President Kamala Harris has arrived in Philadelphia after a weekend of debate prep for tomorrow's head-to-head with former President Trump. Trump doing more informal debate preparation and will arrive in Philadelphia tomorrow. A judge in Latham County, Idaho, has agreed to change a venue in the trial of Brian Koberger. He's charged with the stabbing deaths of four University of Idaho students. His lawyers argued that there was no way he could get a fair trial there. A statewide emergency declared in Louisiana as Tropical Storm Francine approaches from the Gulf Coast. Louisiana State Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, Jacques Thibodeau.
Right now, it is Tropical Storm Francine. We do anticipate that it will go to Category 1 Hurricane Francine by tomorrow at around 7 p.m.
Francine expected to bring heavy rains and flooding to the region later this week. And today, legendary stage and screen actor James Earl Jones died. He was 93 years old. This is ABC News. Five Southern California men accused of kidnapping migrants from the southwest border region and holding them ransom.
Four men were arrested and a fifth is on the run, accused of kidnapping migrants who had crossed into the U.S. and holding them for ransom, demanding cash from their families to let them go. The four arrested have pleaded not guilty. They allegedly kidnapped four migrants from a gas station in Chandler, Arizona, and then drove them to Burbank, California, where they were held hostage in a house, all while demanding ransom from the migrants' families. If convicted, they could get life in federal prison. Alex Stone, ABC News.
A month after a judge ruled Google's search engine was acting as a monopoly, the tech giant facing another antitrust suit. The company in federal court in Virginia today over their advertising technology. The Justice Department and a coalition of states accused Google of controlling the ad exchange market with their technology that matches online publishers with advertisers. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two new polls show a tight presidential race in Wisconsin. Terry Bell reports.
The CBS News YouGov poll finds 51% of likely voters favor Kamala Harris, while 49% back Donald Trump. Meanwhile, consulting firm Platform Communications finds Harris leading Trump with likely Wisconsin voters 48% to 45%. I'm Terry Bell.
Both polls put Harris's lead inside the margin of error. Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz returns to Wisconsin later this week. Walz will appear at different political events in Wausau on Friday night, then stump in Superior on Saturday afternoon. Walz spoke at Milwaukee's Labor Fest on Labor Day. Donald Trump spoke to a rally in central Wisconsin over the weekend. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers get set to head west. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. After dropping two of three games to the Rockies and having won just twice in the past seven games, manager Pat Murphy said that the team is going through some growing pains.
They could be tired. They can be feeling it. They can be trying not to. You know, they can be trying too hard. You know, a lot of young players still in there. We had five. Most of our lineup are basically first-year guys.
Milwaukee will set out on a six-game road trip out west beginning tomorrow in San Francisco. They'll play Arizona this weekend. The Brewers are still 9 games up in the NL Central with 19 games to play. On Sunday, it'll be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Indianapolis Colts as each team seeks its first victory. For the Packers, they will be without Jordan Love, who is expected to miss at least 3 weeks with an MCL sprain. Malik Willis, who the Packers traded for in the preseason, will start this week's game. The Athletic reports that Green Bay has reached out to free agent quarterback Ryan Tannehill as well. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 50s. More sun than clouds with a slight sprinkle or shower chance tomorrow. High low 80s. Mostly sunny in mid 80s on Wednesday. Humidity levels stay down, but it heats up again on Thursday. Upper 80s and mostly sunny. Right now it's 76.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday. That means what's grinding our gears. We'll ask you what's worse and so much more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who believes a penny saved isn't jack sh**, Pete Schwabba.
How appropriate was that one? Welcome back to hour number two of this Monday version of Nightlight. Jameson from Pennsylvania says, per James Earl Jones, don't forget he was the king in Coming to America. That's right. Fun fact, I recently found out the queen, played by the late Madge Sinclair, she was also his queen in The Lion King. So in a sense, they reprised their roles. Thank you, Jameson. That's awesome. You know, Coming to America would be one of those movies that I can't believe I haven't seen. Because it was kind of popular when I was in high school, I think.
Right.
I never saw it all the way through.
I never saw Top Gun.
Greg, I have not either.
That's one that everyone's seen.
I take that back. I watched Top Gun before I saw the sequel, not because I thought I'd be lost, but because I just wanted to see it. And I always thought it sort of looked like it was fluff, and it just didn't. This one was a lot better, I thought. I don't know. From the 920, Steve says, hey, Pete, Paula, and I can see on Facebook your stain on your shirt. That's what I get for being honest and sharing the story. Great movies I can't believe I haven't seen yet is Citizen Kane and Raging Bull. Oh, those are both good ones. Citizen Kane, you kind of have to see, right, Greg? Just to see it.
If you're a movie buff. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to say, Phil, I hope people can go see my version of Meet the Parents in a theater with an audience. Because that really makes such a difference to see a comedy with an audience. And I think that's what really, really hurts from the streaming way of the world now. It's like if you're watching a comedy, like some of those things, those jokes that you quoted, they sound kind of funny. But if you saw it with an audience, it was a 20-second laugh.
Right.
You know?
And it's how the actors sell them. And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But if you were doing stand-up and you just did it in your audience, people might chuckle, but it's not going to make anyone laughing hysterically.
In your Meet the Parents, it's that kind of, my parents have a friend and they highly recommended the film Lost in America. And he hated it because he can't stand that awkward, and that's why people hate the Office. They don't equate that with comedy because it makes them feel so awkward, and that's what your movie does.
I've heard people people who've got up and left the room like they couldn't take the
What was I gonna the streaming. All right, so how hard is it if you were to get this film, your Meet the Parents, the indie film version, how would you get that to a streaming platform? Because I went through this about 5 years ago with The Godfather of Green Bay, the film I made, and my elements were old. I had to track them down. I had to find houses that could transfer stuff. Are you looking at a nightmare like that? Or did somebody tell you they could just pull it off a tape or what?
No, we just made a new print from the 16 millimeter film. So it looks really nice. And I think they understand this is an old film. This is not, and I put a new intro on it, like a Star Wars credit, telling the story a little bit. And
right.
This is the first time in 30 years. This is the original Meet the Parents. So I think our film leeway with that. They don't expect us to have all the elements from 30-year-old film.
Conrad, we have a picture of the poster. Can you share the poster on our page? I don't know. Is our Facebook stream still down?
Yes, our Facebook page is still down.
All right, so Twitter and YouTube will be able to see it if we can put that Meet the Parents poster up that Greg shared earlier. So in the meantime, while we're waiting for that, where can people see? You were on last time you were on the show, you had a film called Puppy Love that had come out.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that? Where can people see that? Oh, there it is. There's the original Meet the Parents. That's a great poster.
That was from National Lampoon, that artwork.
Oh, it looks so National Lampoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Let's see the quotes there. CK.
Yeah.
Guardian. And
oh, that's fantastic. And is Mary Ruth Clark still writing? She wrote this with you. She plays the sister in the film, and she's really funny.
Yeah.
Is she still writing?
She's writing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she writes for the theater more than anything.
Right. Okay. All right, so where can people see? You have two films, actually, Puppy Love and The Road Dog. The Road Dog, I had a small role in. That was really fun to do. I know that came out. That got some good reviews. Where can people see these two films?
The Road Dog is available everywhere you have to pay to see a movie, basically. I think it's on Apple and Amazon and all those streaming services. And Puppy Love was... BuzzFeed made it, so, and I think it was a freebie exclusive.
Oh, okay.
And now it's on Amazon as well, I think. But eventually, Road Dog is going to move into the Tubi and all the free services.
I got to tell you, I love Pluto, Tubi. There's so much stuff to watch in there, and I don't like commercials. I'd rather not deal with them, but I'd rather sit through them than pay $7 for something. You know what I mean?
I think streaming has ruined Hollywood. It's ruined movies.
Well, I know what you're saying.
Brian Edding, who's a mutual friend of ours, told me he says that less than 5% of indie films make their money back with streaming. This is so much content, but you know, studios used to take chances on movies. They used to because they had the DVD sales to back it up. You know, if the movie didn't do well in theaters, it would do well on video. But now that's gone, and now all the movies in Hollywood are brand names. You know, the remakes or sequels or Barbie or Spider-Man, you know, they don't want to do smaller films unless they have 35 stars in them, you know, like.
Right. And
I think that's.
And they still call them indie films. And it's like, well, all right, technically they don't have a studio, but it's George Clooney, Brad Pitt. You know, that's like, how would people ever see a film like Your Meet the Parents in the modern day? Film festivals, I guess, are the new place where you have to make a splash. Right.
But it really, I think the studio should get together and just band together and just nobody release any product to the streaming services and
try to
go back to the DVD days.
So you and I have a script together that we recently made another pass at that deals with a cure to baldness being found. It was like a midnight run with one of the guys having the cure on his head. And when are we ever
going to tell him who the antagonist was?
The hair club, the Cy Sperling, the hair club guy. He didn't want the cure to come out. But I still say we have so much funny stuff in there. I don't know what we do with it next.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the forum to have a writing session, but anyway, we'll keep at it. All right. So
Dream Girl. How funny was Dream Girl? That's never been made.
Notting Hill meets Fatal Attraction. I know.
Fatal Attraction, yeah.
It still has a chance. We'll see. All right. So last week, Greg, we had a question on the show. What was the worst thing you've ever been late for? Because it was national recognized being late day or something like that. And I shared my story.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say,
go ahead.
No, you go.
I'm just playing with you. I was supposed to open for, Tony Orlando and Dawn.
Oh, wow.
And
how old are you?
Well, there was a comeback for them. It wasn't when they're hot days, But there was so much traffic on the freeway, it literally was like stopped. And I eventually had to pull over and find a payphone, which tells you how old I am, and call and say, I can't make it. I missed out on an opening for Tony Orlando and Don.
All right. So you just reminded me, the story I shared was you being late to a meeting when I got there. And she says, come on in. We'll just start and we'll wait for Greg. And I get a call from you on my cell phone and you're clearing your throat and you're like, hey, I just woke up. And you live like 45 minutes away. I'm like, oh no, we were talking about our childhoods. Like, you know, oh, that was brutal. But I was late. One of my favorite actors, character actors, is Joe Pantoliano. Joey Pants, as he's affectionately called in Hollywood. And I had an opportunity from Comedy Central to write something with him. Same deal. I got caught in traffic like I had never seen before in LA. Like I left like an hour cushion and I was still 30 minutes late. And it was at his house in Santa Monica. And I could tell he was just annoyed the whole meeting. And I'm like, and nothing ever happened. I mean, nothing ever happened with that show, but certainly not with me as a writer after that. That was just the most awkward. Like, how do I tell this guy? I love you, man. I love your work. And it was just an honest, it's going to happen sometimes, you know. Greg, what are you watching? You got a recommendation for us before we let you go?
You know, I don't know. I tend to watch movies I've seen before or older movies. What did I just watch? Oh, I was revisiting the 1970s Pink Panther movies.
Oh, nice.
The Return of the Pink Panther Strikes Again. And those were, I think Peter Sellers was the greatest actor who ever lived. And
you've always said that. What's your favorite out of those? I always think I liked Return.
I think Return, out of the 70s one, I think Shot in the Dark is the best.
That's the first one, right?
Second one.
The second one. Okay.
Pink Panther is the first one.
Did you,
but you know, if you watch his character in the 70s, he gets more slower and more melancholy and depressed seeming.
Yeah.
It kind of works. I mean, it's so funny, but.
Right. No, those are great. Those are great. I just watched recently. I watched Terminator 2. What a great movie that is for what it is in that genre. And then I watched In the Heat of the Night, which I tend to watch about once every 2 years. And I just am infatuated with the movie. It's so great.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
Mr. Tibbs. all right. Did you see any of the summer films, Greg? Any of the summer blockbusters?
I'm ashamed to say I haven't been to a movie in a while. I saw Barbie.
Wait a minute. You just complained that streaming is killing Hollywood. You haven't gone to a movie since Barbie?
I'm trying to remember.
There were some.
Yeah, I kind of got out of the habit, you know, with COVID and all that. Yeah.
Well, you're about to see another one. Good luck and break a leg with the screenings at the Pickwick. I'll read the dates again before the end of the show. September 20th, for those of you listening who don't mind a road trip to Park Ridge, Illinois. It's not that far away, and it's worth it to see the original Meet the Parents on the big screen. Greg Liana, great catching up, buddy. Thanks so much for your time tonight.
All right.
Have a good night. That's Greg Liana. A Nightlight frequent flyer, right, Conrad? That counts. That's like his third appearance.
An early flyer.
Early flyer. Yes, that's correct. All right. So if you want to get in on the question, it's what is a movie you can't believe you haven't seen? And Jeremy Thompson checks in. Do I know Jeremy? The worst thing I've ever been late for was my pre-recorded interview with Pete Schwabba. Also, traffic was the most common and irrefutable excuse to be late for anything in L.A. I could not agree more, Jeremy. He's got my back. See that? All right, we're coming back. Rex Sykes, author and casting director, is coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Together.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL-HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL-HHS or the U.S. government.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Seen her dressed in blue.
Making fun of the stain on my shirt. But I'm the one that pointed it out to them.
I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Is it that obvious?
No, I'm just kidding.
It looks like a badge. Jeremy Thompson, that's my new pal, JB Thompson. I just put that together. He's the one who introduced us to, totally blanking now, our cigar guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
So fun. All right. So here we go. We are going to jump into, we're going to switch gears, as they say, or as I say. Joining the show now for the first time is an old friend of mine who I've not spoken with in quite a while. I think he took a social media break. I'm not sure, but we'll ask him about that. It's my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight, Rex Sykes. Rex, how are you? Oh, I don't think we have audio. I think your mic might.
I'm good, but you go first.
Oh, I go first?
I was watching the previous interview. What a great conversation you both had.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, and we'll get into that a little bit too. You've dabbled in some indie films, as have I, but you have a new career right now, and that surprised me. You're a coach now, and you have see your book up there on the shelf behind you. That's no accident.
I've actually been doing that for as long as I've been doing movies. I've been in the Screen Actors Guild since I was 18 years old, and I've been actually teaching hypnosis and personal development since I was like 11. Oh, wow. So yeah, I ran them parallel. I tried to keep them separate in many ways, but there was a lot of overlap. You were one of the lucky people who got to know about that, but I've done both for well over 50 years now.
I do remember you saying that, that you have been in SAG since you were 18. Where did we meet, Rex? I know we met at a film festival, I think, right? Are you just one of those guys? We're just one of those two people that have just known each other and we don't remember where. There's nothing wrong with that, too.
I think that's the case. And then we spent a lot of time on the phone at one time talking about some a film that you had written. And a
couple
and
projects, yeah.
A couple of projects and stuff, yeah. And it may have been also around the Godfather of Green Bay. Didn't you come into the area with Tony? And do the thing. There was a
little press tour or something.
It was something, some place that sometime when
something happened.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and things did. Yeah. So, but before we go any further, I have to yell at you and your guest in Hollywood. Cause I've lived in Hollywood most of my life, go back and forth now, but you know, traffic is no excuse.
I know. You're absolutely right. Listen, I mean, I had lived there long enough at that point to have known I should leave an hour and a half or 2 hours, or I should have taken a different
route, or camp out the night before, whatever it takes. Because the thing, I mean, if you were meeting at somebody's home in Santa Monica or Malibu, that's one thing. But if you've got, you know, a cast and crew waiting either in a studio or on location somewhere, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars are being spent every minute that they're waiting on you.
Right.
So as a young actor, I learned, you know, if they say the call time is 6:30, you get there at 6 and you're already a half hour late.
All right. Well, we'll get to that. Let's talk about your book first. I see it over in the back there. Life on Your Terms. Tell us about the book and what's it about?
Well, I'm actually really proud of the book. It's I have a chapter about my story and kind of why I wrote it and what happened as an actor in Hollywood. I ran into some tough times. I ended up nearly dying and I had to kind of, you know, crawl back from the brink of like insanity and death and all sorts of stuff. And so I ended up locking myself in my apartment at one point for between 6 and 8 weeks to just try and get my head straight so that I could go back and reclaim my career, my friends, the girl I lost, who I had loved at the time, you know, and so many things. And what I discovered while I was in that chair was, I was sitting there, well, why did this happen to me? How could I be such a schmuck? You know, I'm so stupid. Everything goes wrong. How could, and how long is it going to take before I ever can? And I realized I didn't want to know any of that stuff. I wanted to know instead, how could I quickly and easily and painlessly get back into life? How could I go out and be confident? How could I go back and convince the people? Because I was an actor, you know, and what had happened was, I'd been prescribed a fatal combination of pills by a Beverly Hills doctor. Oh, I should have died or gone into an irreversible coma. They considered me a walking medical miracle, but what it did was, it interfered with my ability to know what I was doing. And so I went on interviews and auditions. I did all sorts of things on these drugs, and I was like a crazy person. Fortunately, I didn't hurt anyone. You know, only person who suffered the most was me, and my friends shunned me, and, you know, or they started giving me drugs, you know, left and right to try and get me to straighten out. So I became a kind of a walking pharmacy for a while. And then when I realized what I had done, I felt so bad I tried to kill myself. And then I felt so bad I started to drink and abuse drugs on purpose because I couldn't face what I had done. So I'm in this chair. I'm visualizing. I'm using hypnosis. I'm doing affirmations. And I suddenly realized I'm asking myself all the wrong questions. How long will it take? Why am I so stupid? I'm just driving myself into this rabbit hole. So I started to ask questions like, how quickly and easily can I begin to feel confident? How soon will I be able to get out of this chair and win back my friends? What do I need to do, or where do I need to feel it in my body where I feel free and available in life? And I realized that the difference between success and failure, between happiness and sadness, between madness and sanity, is where you direct your attention and how you put your focus on that. And if you're going down the rabbit hole, it's like dog crap or diamonds, you have to choose. And you have to make a choice. And most people sadly wallow around in dog crap. Wow. But you could choose. And that's what I write about in the book. And there's easy, simple, step-by-step guide for how you can claim back your life, be more happy, successful, peaceful, whatever you want to do.
Who are the typical, like, who typically would buy this book and look for
God,
answers?
I have everybody. Is it people with, I have,
have depression or substance issues or just can't, need a kickstart in life?
All of the above. You know, I think more of myself like a Olympic coach. You know, an Olympic coach works to help people improve whatever they're not naturally, but they may be naturally, or they're dedicated to doing. So whether it's swimming or diving or running or whatever, you know, that's an enhancement coach. So that's how I aim people. You know, you can overcome all sorts of difficulties and things when you understand couple of ways, how the brain works. You know, we've got so many myths, so much misinformation, and there's so many people out there spreading, either willfully or because they don't know any better, just kind of lies about how things work. And I try and clear up those myths so that you find out just that it's easier. You can do a whole lot of stuff with a lot less struggle and a whole lot more ease and grace.
Where can people find the book, Rex?
They can get it at, right there, rexox.com
/book.
If they go there and get the book there, or they can get it from Amazon or other places, but if they get the book there, I'll gift them a bonus, a $497 online video training, absolutely free, when they go there and follow the instructions.
All right, very good. So you're going to stick around. We're going to do some quick news here by our Civic Media award-winning news team. And then we'll be back with more with Rex Sykes. We'll talk indie films and a little casting, and we'll have fun. It's Nightlight with Peach Wamba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on?
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Vice President Kamala Harris has arrived in Philadelphia after a weekend of debate prep for tomorrow's head-to-head with former President Trump. Trump doing more informal debate preparation and will arrive in Philadelphia tomorrow. A judge in Latham County, Idaho, has agreed to change of venue in the trial of Brian Koberger. He's charged with the stabbing deaths of four University of Idaho students. His lawyers argued that there was no way he could get a fair trial there. A statewide emergency declared in Louisiana as Tropical Storm Francine approaches from the Gulf Coast. Louisiana State Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, Jacques Thibodeau.
Right now, it is Tropical Storm Francine. We do anticipate that it will go to Category 1 Hurricane Francine by tomorrow at around 7 p.m.
Francine expected to bring heavy rains and flooding to the region later this week. And today, legendary stage and screen actor James Earl Jones died. He was 93 years old. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some Wisconsin-raised eggs are subject to a recall. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
The Salmonella outbreak has gotten more than 60 people sick. And Centers for Disease Control and Prevention staff say these eggs came from a Wisconsin farm. Officials say they're from Milo's Poultry Farm in Bonduelle, that's north of Green Bay. The cartons were sold in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Michigan under the labels Milo's Poultry Farms or Tony's Fresh Market. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Democrats are literally going to new heights to warn about the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025. Airplanes pulled banners over college football games here in Wisconsin and in other key swing states on Saturday. Donald Trump denies having a direct connection to Project 2025, but he's embraced some of its key ideas, like eliminating the Federal Department of Education. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. One person was rescued from a balcony of an apartment complex in Appleton Sunday night. The Appleton Fire Department was called to the 1700 block of East Longview Street for smoke and a fire in a second-story apartment. Crews controlled the fire within 20 minutes and searched the building for occupants. The blaze caused about $200,000 in damage. A 51-year-old woman has died when the SUV she was in was hit head-on by another SUV in Oconto County. The accident Sunday evening on State Highway 32 involved a northbound Chevy SUV driven by a 30-year-old Fond du Lac man crossing the center line and hitting a southbound Subaru SUV driven by a 15-year-old girl from Lake Tomahawk. The male passenger of the northbound vehicle and the drivers of both vehicles were all taken to the hospital for injuries. The crash remains under investigation. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 50s. More sun than clouds with a slight sprinkle or shower chance tomorrow. High low 80s. Mostly sunny and mid 80s on Wednesday. Humidity levels stay down, but it heats up again on Thursday. Upper 80s and mostly sunny. Right now it's 76.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Mino and the mayor.
He goes, "Hey, Mino, you see that guard down there at the gate?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Can I tell you something without you getting mad?"
Sure. Oh,
goes,
"No."
"Hey, is that John Mino out there?" And Kyle goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Holy crap, he's getting so gray, I didn't recognize him."
There's stuff for that, too. Don't do that. I would never dye my hair.
All right.
There's, Jim, you don't dye your hair?
I do not dye my hair.
There's nothing in there?
Absolutely.
Shoe polish?
Grecian 44? No.
Mino and the mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Tuesday's show, veteran artist Laura Meisenhelder-Taylor stops by to talk about her artwork.
Plus, Andrew Muzu is our NBC 26 Neighborhood Focus.
Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
On tomorrow night's show, comedian author Roger Rittenhouse will be here. Roger wrote a book called Big Techs. We'll talk about that. Roger's so great. He's been on the show before. He's very, I don't know if I'd say dark sense of humor, but he writes for many comedians, and I worked with him on a show called Sports Soup. Very funny guy. And from the Overture Center in Madison, our friend Tim Sowers will be here. Tim is always, Tim always has a ton of suggestions on what to watch. The guy literally watches everything. Would you agree with that, Conrad?
I would say so, yes.
Okay. And then my friend Dave, who refuses to text in on the text line periodically, I don't know why, said Rudy is a movie he's never seen, but has to see. I don't know. I guess that's a good one. How about Notre Dame? They beat the Texas A&M or one of the Texases on the road.
It was Northern Illinois.
No, I know. But the week before that, they had this big road win. It was supposed to be the toughest game on their schedule. And they're supposed to have a cakewalk to the national championship, and they lose to Northern Illinois.
I heard
that's coaching.
The play-by-play, like radio, with the last 3 seconds of it, and it was amazing. If you have a chance, listen to that.
Oh, okay. Can you pull it up?
I will, yeah.
We can go out on that. You know what we used the other night? Brian Boitano. We went out with Brian Boitano. We have a good friend of Brian Boitano's as a guest right now. I don't know that, but he could be. Rex Sykes is here. Rex, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm great. Great being with you. I really like talking with you again on the air or off the air. And, you know, we mentioned a moment ago, Godfather of Green Bay. That was a really good movie. And Tony Goldwyn and Holly Lauren, you know, great cast members along with yourself.
Oh, thanks.
It's somewhat autobiographical.
I mean, there are elements. I was a stand-up comedian. I worked in the 90s. I was based out of Chicago, worked the road through the Midwest. You know, you have like some fun big rooms you work, and then you work stuff to make your car payment. You know, you take little gigs, and that's kind of what The Godfather of Green Bay is. But we sort of juxtapose the, like, instead of going to L.A. to get seen, these two guys find out that the talent booker for The Tonight Show will be at a roadside bar for Rocktoberfest that he goes to every night. So all they have to do is get on the show and they'll get on The Tonight Show. So a little reverse-a-roo there we did, but thank you, Rex, for the nice words.
No, it's good. I appreciate you.
Oh, absolutely. Likewise. And Mac Ballantyne, I hope I'm saying that right, from the Canary Islands says, hello from the Canary Islands. Fantastic book, referring to Rex's book, Life on Your Terms. Life-changing. Great show. Amazing conversation. Much gratitude to all for sharing your journey with us all. Thank you, Mac. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, yeah.
All right, so Rex, let's talk. Give me an indie film either that you worked on or that you can recommend that was either a good or bad experience. I'm leaving it up to you.
If it's a bad experience, I can't name it.
Okay, wow.
I mean, because too many people I like and appreciate, I wouldn't want to.
You can leave the names out, though.
Well, no, but I mean, even by mentioning the name of the film, that people go, that's the film he hated kind of thing. But I have worked on some really horrible productions, meaning that there was a lot of strife and people competing and just a lot of crap. Okay. But I will tell you one that I worked on more recently that was fabulous. It was a film called Shooting Star. It's a Western. It stars Michael Paré and Peter Schirico, who's known from Tombstone and other westerns, and I supporting, and I don't know what my credit was, but at any rate, I play the town activist against the corrupt mayor Peter Schirico and the corrupt sheriff Michael Paré, and what a delightful set! Peter produced it along with Michael Pfeiffer, who's done hundreds of movies, and
oh my God, I know that guy.
Yeah.
Our kids went to the same preschool in Van Nuys. Yeah.
Yeah. It was
cool, wow. Huh? Is that a name from the past? Holy smokes.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm glad I could supply it. But we shot out in Agua Dulce and on Peter's shooting ranch and where I was shooting. You know, we shot in a couple other places. But what the respect that the cast and the crew and, you know, leadership is always from the top down. They set the tone.
Sure.
If the top people are cool and appreciative of all of the talent, then all of the talent on camera or off, you know, can flourish. That said, you know, part of the casting process or the hiring process. Because I work casting, I've done production management, I'm a first AD, I direct, I produce, I do a lot of stuff. That said, one of the ways that I like to think about a movie shoot, whether you're in a studio or on location, is like, if you were going camping, Pete, if you and I were going camping, who do we want to bring along? Right? We want to bring along people who are going to be fun and helpful, and, you know, they're not going to be grumbly and complaining and whining, and they're going to
want to invite enough people so that when I went back home to watch TV, no one would notice I was gone.
Right. Exactly. But so, you know, a movie is like that. And yeah. Peter and Michael set this tone, and it was just an amazing experience. And Michael Paré and I hate each other, but we got along fabulous.
Wow. So when was
I'm kidding.
Huh? When was this?
It was the end of 2019. I think okay. I got, yeah, it was the end of 2019. Came out sometime during COVID.
Yeah.
And I think you can see it on Tubi now. I mean, there's some places in streaming. There's a, you know, like everything, there's a few movies with the same title. This yeah. is Shooting Star. And, you know, if you cool. go Shooting Star and Michael Paré, you're probably
I, Michael Paré, I don't know if you were really joking about that, not liking
I was joking, yeah.
Okay.
He is a consummate professional on the set. He was beautiful. He was wonderful. He helped support everyone. He wasn't grandstanding or you know, he's just a lovely, lovely person. So,
because he was Eddie in the Cruisers. He was the lead that role. Yeah. And I thought, man, this guy's going to be a huge star. And he went on to do some things. He works a lot, and I think a lot.
He was a huge star. Streets of Fire.
Streets of Fire. Fun movie.
But you know, everybody has this kind of bell curve.
Yeah, that's good. I didn't know I assumed he was still working, but I just hadn't heard his name in a long time. I always liked him. That's great to hear. So, you just said you did first AD casting work. You've done everything. You're a SAG actor. What's the hardest crew position on a film, Rex? Take out actor and director and producer and give me the nuts and bolts, the people really earning their money. What's the toughest job?
Well, life expectancy-wise, it's the first AD. There are life expectancy like 50 years old. Now, there are people who, you know, surpass that. But
yeah,
you're the communication hub. You are the center through which all communication goes through. You're the safety officer. You are responsible for everything and for helping the director get their vision on the screen. So to the degree that you're able to communicate effectively with all the different departments and they're able to communicate with you, but it's a nonstop job. You're there in pre-production. You're doing the day out of days. I mean, everything is kind of reliant on you to move the shoot along. And if you're not good at it, then, you know, everything will suffer. And I did work on a movie where they had a really, really horrible AD. I've been an AD where it's been very, very difficult because some of the departments don't like you, or they start, you know, they have their own agenda, so they do stuff, and it can be.
You're kind of the hard ass, right? You have to be the one. You're kind of the hard ass. You got to corral people, get them ready, and you're the one that gets everything ready, really, before they can roll action or call action, right?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, yes. You're the one who, you know, and you work with the extras, and the director doesn't really work with the extras. So, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that you have to do.
Right.
And you have to know it. But you also, you know, everything on a film is like a two-way street. And you know, what I tell actors, if you don't mind me kind of jumping, hopefully this will make sense. when I was a young actor, I used to think, okay, this is my chance. Maybe I have a line in a movie or I've got five scenes. It didn't matter what the size was. I'm like, oh, yeah. Opportunity, right?
Sure.
And in the days before I became SAG, you know, there's a lot of non-union movies. So they'd go, well, there's no money, but, you know, you'll be a big star. This is exposure. And
right.
Well, that never works out, right?
Right.
I get exposure standing in the snow. The problem is that if you think it's all about you as an actor, that this is your shot, then you don't realize how you are in the screenplay. You know, if whether you come in on page 3 or page 33 or page 87 matters, because right. you're either there to inform the rest of the story. You know, you're there to pass the storyline. You're not there to to you know, upstage the stars. And so I had an audition once for Chicago PD or something like that. I was going to be a warden, for example. And I looked at the screenplay and I was with the two stars. And I realized that this is not, they're not going to cut to me. I mean, I am not the main thing. It's the two stars. I have three or four lines and it's the stars and I give them information and they, you know, exit. So I'm been in the business long enough to know that this is not my crowning moment. So I didn't want to do the job, but you can't blow an audition either. So I was like, just, there were other parts, like the way agents send stuff out now, they sometimes send them out in emails where they go, here's Rex and here's Bob and here's Sue and here's John.
Right.
And Bob has a three-story character arc over, you know, three different episodes. And I have one scene and one, you know, that kind of thing. I'm like, I'd rather do the three character stuff. So I really don't want to, and working with Dick Wolf in Chicago, you can't work a whole lot. If you've worked once, you're kind of done for a while. So I didn't really want to do it, but they gave me a call back and I went back and the director and I got along greatly and I didn't get it. I was so thrilled I didn't get it when it came out. When it did come out, the actor who got it, if he was seen for 4 seconds on screen, and you know he's told everybody most likely, hey, watch me, I'm on Chicago PD tonight.
Right.
You see this Morgan go past camera, you see the stars, you see him come in middle of the sentence. So he sees three or four words that he's saying, it cuts back to the stars. They say their lines and they walk out. So you, if he was on screen 4 seconds, he was
wow.
Lucky. And what happens is people have to understand you're a cog in a wheel.
Right.
And you're there to help the stars look good. You're there to further the story along. It's not all about you. This is a team sport.
Right.
Movie making. And so you have, you know, and it's a meritocracy. So the more able you are to support everyone, collaborate, get along with everyone, and not grumble or complain.
And that's a credit. I mean, you still get a credit. That's, I don't care how, you know, I have friends that did two lines or two words, and it's still on your resume. It's an awesome credit to have. My guest is Rex Sykes. He is the author of the book Life on Your Terms, which you can find at rexsykes.com/book. We're talking about the casting process in independent films. Rex, I have to ask you, you say you were in SAG since you were 18. I looked at your IMDb page. You were on General Hospital.
Yeah, but not, they've got it wrong. They've got it like I was at General Hospital before I was on General Hospital. Like they got something in the 60s. I wasn't. I was in the middle 70s.
Yeah, but that's really cool. Oh, I mean, that's a fun, it looked like you did a couple episodes. How did you like doing soaps?
Well, at the time, it was very different than it is now. I mean, that was back when it was more live and they shot, you know, in sequence. Now they shoot it like a movie out of sequence and everything else. So it's a very different process. But it was fine. I mean, I wasn't the star of the show or main character, but I know everybody from the show. I mean, they've been friends of mine for, you know, one of my best friends, oldest friend, has been on the show for 47 years. He's in Guinness Book of Records for the longest character in television soap opera.
That's so great.
And his character also made a debut before it was him as a child, and then he came back as an adult.
Can you stick around? I got a couple more questions for you. We got to do a quick thing. But I'm going to ask you about a film you were in, and I'm going back on deep into IMDb woods too. Massacre at Central High. I want to ask you about that, so we'll do that next. Sure. My guest is Rex Sykes. There's more coming up with Rex in the next segment. This is Pete Schwabba in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The sky until the sky. Towered foresight isn't any
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Do you have a home you'd like to rent out but don't know where to start? Consider Simple Life Rentals, a property management company partnered with booking sites like Airbnb and Expedia, amplifying your home's exposure to the marketplace. Simple Life Rentals screens guests and creates an owner portal with analytics, rental agreements, and legal guidelines. We give you complete visibility into how your manager's doing, ensuring your property is well-maintained and maximizing your return on investment. Get peace of mind. Simple Life Rentals.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Welcome back. Got a couple more minutes here with our guest, Rex Sykes. He's the author of the book, Life on Your Terms. You can check it out at rexsykes.com/book. That's pretty cool, Rex. I don't think I could write a book. I don't think I could get through it. I don't know if I have the patience. So I admire you for that. That's really exciting, and I hope it does really well for you. So tell us about Massacre at Central High. That sounds, I don't know when it was filmed. It could have been filmed 2 years ago, but it sounds like one of those great 70s slasher films or something.
I've done two movies that are extremely popular but unpopular. One was called Killer's Matinee, where I walk into a movie theater and I shoot 16 people.
Ooh.
Back in 1979. And Massacre at Central High we did in 1976, where a bunch of kids are in high school and one guy kills a bunch of them. So
that sounds like a today, good 70s plot.
Yeah, well, they don't fit well into the
no.
21st century. But actually... Roger Ebert loved Massacre at Central High. We had fan clubs. I mean, it was too bad there wasn't an internet, because it played like in Holland and overseas every like the Rocky Picture Horror Show. It played for 2 years, I think, in France or somewhere. I mean, it consecutively.
And yeah.
It was Roger Ebert loved it, because what he said it was an allegory for how when an oppressed people are freed from their oppressors, they oftentimes become the oppressive. And so it was this kind of message about how, about social responsibility. Obviously it was an exploitation picture about like 8 deaths out of 13, you know, but thematically it was, yeah, I mean, you certainly got that. I played Rodney, who I argue was the most seminal character, because you had three, four guys who were the school bullies, the new student, David, who came in. They were harassing everybody, myself included. And David befriends me, and he's fixing my car when they cause the car to collapse and fall on David, injuring his leg and then thereby crippling him. So he decides he's going to take out his revenge on the bullies. And he takes them out in a variety of ways, blows them up, has them die in hand gliding, jumping into empty pools and darkness. I mean, weird kind of deaths. And then what happens is myself and other people start becoming bullies, and then we start becoming aggressors towards each other. And he goes, well, in order to be fair, got to take these guys out.
Take you out too.
And that's why Ebert loved it. And the New York Times, it was like one of the top 20 films. I mean,
that's so cool.
Their top 20 film list. Yeah. And there's a new, it came out a few years ago. There's a new Blu-ray, completely digitized, everything. They got me and some of the other guy. Bobby Carradine is in it, and Andrew Stevens is in it. Daryl Morey starred as David, Kim Beck, and a bunch, you know. But they got a number of people to talk. Oh, by the way, Bert Van Munster, who's responsible for The Great Race, he's won like 17 Emmys. Yeah. He was a cinematographer.
Nice.
And a great guy. And Peter Dyell was Burt Ward's rival for Batman. He was our makeup guy. He's a producer, director now. And it looks like, you know, they're finally now starting to go, hey, we need to massacre at Central High Reunion. So originally it looked like we were going to be at Chiller Fest in New Jersey in October, but it's not going to happen. We may be in L.A. in January for the Hollywood or the Burbank meet and greet. So that's kind of cool after all these years to finally kind of have that acknowledged.
That's so cool that a movie that's that old can still have life after so many years. I love when a movie has fans like that, it always has the potential to come back and be a thing. So good for you, Rex. So, and
director hated it. I mean, he was very mad because they cut some things that he didn't like. They put music that he didn't want. So for 35 years, he didn't like it. And he and I worked for 10 years to get it re-released. I mean, it really took a lot of effort. And but he was invited to a fan screening in New York. And I said, you got to go. You have so many fans. And he went. They loved it. He said, I got a new print. It was new music. They said, no, don't change anything. We love it just the way it is. And he came back and he called me up and said, they love it. Maybe I've been wrong for 35 years to hate that movie.
Wow.
And so before he didn't get to see the release because he passed away before it came out, but he knew it was happening. And so it was very cool.
Renee, huge
fan base.
Renee Dalder. Yeah. Okay.
Who was a pioneer in all sorts of other technical avenues. So let me shut up so that you can say what you want.
No. I was just going to say, it's great to have you, man. Great to do this on the radio and catch up on the air. And I wish you luck with the book, Rex. Thanks so much for your time tonight. Well,
thank you so much for having me. You're a great host, and I love you. And I hope to see you sometime in person again soon.
Let's do it. We'll reconnect. We'll have coffee at a food court again like we did years ago. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Rex Sykes, thanks so much. All right. Have a great night, Rex. Thank you. And I'd like to thank all my guests tonight. All my guests. We've had two, Greg Liana and Rex Sykes. And thank you for all your texts to our question. What is a movie you can't believe you haven't seen? I should have asked Rex that while we had him. All right. So you have this this audio, Conrad, for the Notre Dame. Did you find that?
Okay. Yep.
So this is, all right, just to set the table here, people thought they were going to run the table now.
Yeah.
Notre Dame was finally back. They won a tough road game, and then they lay an egg against a smaller school. Let's hear that audio.
He's lining it up. 5 seconds left. NIU up 16-14. 62-yarder. Snap, hold. Jeter's kick. It's blocked. Picked up by NIU. The Huskies have done it. The Huskies with the biggest upset in NIU history. They come to South Bend, Indiana, and they knock off the number 5 team in the country.
Now, what people might not know is that was the Notre Dame announcer who has since been fired.
Imagine.
Oh, my gosh. Northern Illinois is a good program, though. I mean, they're much smaller, but they're a good program.
I believe that.
That is hilarious.
Notre Dame paid them $5 million to play them.
Money well spent, Irish. I have uncles that went to Notre Dame, and I grew up kind of being a fan, and then I get kind of tired of hearing about Notre Dame. Oh, I've got my issues. All right. So tomorrow night, Roger Rittenhouse, the very funny Roger Rittenhouse, will be here, and Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison. This has been fun. It's a good show.
Definitely.
Yeah. I have a stain on my shirt. I'm going to clean it up for tomorrow, maybe comb my hair, maybe a middle part, a nice feathering. We'll see what happens. But thanks so much for being part of Nightlight tonight, folks. We'll be back tomorrow night on behalf of Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, she is running in Wisconsin's 18th Senate District. Kristen Alfheim joins us at 11:06. We'll hear what she's hearing about on the campaign trail. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments.
Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.